Turn with me in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Praise you, Jesus. How many know we're in the last days? How many know God wants to bring forth a blessed body together in the last days? He's raising up a spotless bride. Deuteronomy chapter 11, have you got it? We talked about this last week. Deuteronomy was a book that God gave Moses 1 month before they went in and possessed the promised land. Israel had been commanded of God after they left Egypt to go straight to the promised land and possess it. But remember the story? They sent the 12 spies in. 10 came back with evil reports. They said there's giants in the land and they're too strong for us. And God said, because you didn't believe me to give you the land, you're going to wander for 40 years till that entire generation dies off. Well, when Deuteronomy is written, that generation is now dead. I mean, Moses is basically the only one left of that generation besides Joshua and Caleb. And Moses has been told he can't go in. And God gives him this book of Deuteronomy as a review of instructions for them to go in to possess the land. Right? How many know Israel was supposed to go in and possess the land of Canaan? And we understand that them going in to possess the land is actually a typology, an analogy of how we're to possess the land. How many know God don't want His church just hanging on, you know, to the last knot of the frayed rope till Jesus returns for us? He wants us overcoming. He wants us demonstrating God's ability to bless. We're going to see this here in a few minutes. He wants us showing off the anointing of God. Amen. And we're called Christians, meaning little anointed ones. And so when we read about Israel possessing the promised land, it's a type of us possessing what God has given us, despite opposition in the land. How many know there's a devil that don't want you to possess? And we also understand the most important area of land you can take is the 6 inches of dirt between your ears. How many know we're made of the dust? And before you will possess anything in the natural, you first got to possess it in your soul. You first got to bring the Word of God in and renew your mind so you can think spiritually. See, we've already had an interesting service already tonight. You know, we had several people get prayed for, many get touched, if not everybody. I think everybody did. And I watched, nobody went out the door. Jessica went out, but she came back in. Nobody fled out and says, this place is crazy, I'm out of here. Well, you know, we've had that happen before. We've had many times people come in here and, you know, people start falling out and they're like, where's the door? We might as well have brought rattlesnakes out or something. I mean, it's like, I'm in that crazy church. How did I end up here? But see, you guys didn't flee because you've been in enough Word, you've been in enough exposure to the things of the Word that you recognize this doesn't seem natural, but it does seem spiritual. You were spiritually minded enough that when you saw the power of God moving, you didn't, you know, have a meltdown. You're able to stay in your seat and really enjoy it. Yeah. Even expect it. Why? Your mind is renewed to that level. But God wants to renew our minds way beyond that. He wants to renew our minds by the Word that we believe it will happen in our lives. He wants to renew, in other words, we'll walk out with that power. He wants to renew our minds and we believe that we can actually see blind eyes open and deaf ears open. God wants to do that in our lives, each of us. Can you fathom that for a minute? He wants to do that. No, it's just the pastors can do that. It's just the ministers can do that. That's not what the Word says. Show me the verse that says that it's only the ministers who are allowed to move in the power of God. In fact, Jesus said it this way, Acts chapter 1. He says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. And you shall be witnesses. You shall move out in the power of God. Hey, there was 120 in that room that day that were positioned for power, that were moving out. Philip, the deacon, you follow me? He was a deacon. Philip originally was a deacon. Moves out and has a translation of God, leads the Ethiopian eunuch who is serving under the throne of Pharaoh. You follow me? Has a divine word translated away. and becomes Philip the Evangelist. He was just Philip the deacon serving in the church. Deacon's not some high position that, you know, that after 40 years of serving, you know, you're promoted to. A deacon just means you are in a position to serve in the church. You've been given authority to serve, right? The authority they were given was to serve tables in the church so that the apostles weren't tied up in all the daily judgments. The point being is we're all to move in the power of God. Shall I stretch you another step? God wants each of us to raise the dead. There's enough dead out there to go around. You follow me? I believe Jesus spoiled every funeral he attended. I believe it'd be nice for us to spoil some funerals. But see, right now we're not doing that. I've yet to raise any dead people that I know of. Maybe some animals, but not people. I've yet to raise dead people, and I expect to many times. But the point is if our soul was really developed to the point where the fullness of the Word was active in our thinking, we'd be raising them now. We already have been given all authority. We've been given the name of Jesus. We've been given the Holy Ghost. The only thing left for us to have to see it happen is to believe that we have access to it. Not to mention the divine nature of God you were given when you were born again. So the only thing we lack is training. And that's why we come to these meetings. We want to be trained on how we can move out in the anointing. How can we live a victorious life? How can we come out from under the condemnation and the bondage we were in before? Amen? Because again, you won't move into the high things of the power of God with condemnation on your life either. So it says, verse 8, Deuteronomy 11, 8. Therefore shall you keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land whither you go to possess it, and that you may prolong your days in the land. Oh, glory to God. I just saw that. That just jumped out at me. That you may prolong your days in the land, which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. What do you get when you combine milk with honey? Good money. Milk plus honey equals money, right? See, some people are like almost tilted on that one. It's in the Word. Amen. God wants us blessed. Now, here's the thing. There have been many revivals in the past where people would seek God and they would get a hold of the truth of the Word of God, and they'd press in and fast and lay on their face and with all their heart go after the things of God, and God would bring a revival. There would be an outpouring. Every denomination, for the most part, we have today was a result of an outpouring sometime in the past. If you study church history, the Baptist church was started in revival. The Lutheran church was started in revival. Quakers are called Quakers because he used to shake under the power of God. Amen? I mean, there's been revivals of the past, but guess what? They were not prolonged. They died out with that generation as far as the revival aspect of it. It only carried on for a certain number of years. Here is, I need you to be strong and obey what I've told you to prolong your revival. I believe God's bringing a revival in the last days that will never stop until the rapture. Kenneth Hagin prophesied it. I heard this prophecy. He prophesied the next revival, the last revival, would be one that would never stop. Amen. Until it ushers in, you know, the glory of God and the rapture takes place. Every revival of the past was not prolonged because it was based on a move of God and on prayer. How many know prayer is good? How many know a move of God is great? But the final revival is not going to be based just on a prayer and a move of God. It'll be based on the Word and prayer. There has never been a Word generation up to this point. Never been a Word of Faith generation up to this point where they so believed the Word they would step out on the Word, entrusting their life to it, and believe God would manifest what He said He would manifest. It's always been believing that if we would just pray, God would move. Well, that's true. He will move. But God wants to raise up a generation that will let the Word of God permeate their thinking in a fashion they so believe it, they will act on it, they will place demands on it, they will speak it out full time, and it will create a revival the enemy cannot stop because the Word cannot be stopped. Prayer can be stopped, but the Word can't be stopped. Did you follow me? It's an incorruptible seed. The enemy has no access to it. And so, I believe we are the generation. Now, we're going to see here in a minute where he tells them to keep the Word before them, but I brought this out the other night. I don't believe it's an accident that we're in the generation that we have MP3 players, satellite TV, DVD, CDs, satellite radio. I'm talking about, you know, see, the world experienced major revival when Martin Luther came along and Gutenberg invented the printing press. And they started printing Bibles. Up until that time, it was illegal to have a Bible for the common man. Only royalty and the priesthood could have Bibles. And when they'd speak it, it was always spoken in Latin, so nobody understood what it was saying. How are you going to have a move of God where nobody understands what the Word's saying? So when the printing press was created, it put the Bible in the everyday man's hand. He now had an affordable copy of the Word of God. And revival hit. Why? Because the Word was delivered into the hands of man. But now we're in the generation that not only do you have a Bible, you can hear it round the clock. I can download. I can't listen to all the sermons I can download. I can go to mannareserve.com and download faith sermons by the hundreds. I mean, just want to hear these things. Go to mannareserve.com. I'm assuming it's still there. I haven't been there in a while. And it's all faith. At least the majority of it. And you can listen to Creflo Dollar and Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin. Just download it all free. As much word as you want to take in. mannareserve.com. If I remember right. How much word do you want? They couldn't do this 50 years ago. They couldn't do this 100 years ago. I believe God brought all this technology to us right now to enable us to be surrounded by Word in a maximized fashion. I understand you can't drive and look at the Word, but you can play it in a CD player. I mean, everywhere you go nowadays, you can have the Word going. You can sleep to the Word. You couldn't do that. You know, you couldn't do that 100 years ago unless you had somebody, you know, you'd hired to read the Bible as you were asleep. Weren't any tape players, CD players. I don't think it's by accident. It's to raise up a word generation that cannot be shut down. So he says here, we brought this out last week. Let's go over here again. Verse 8, therefore shall you keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land, whether you go to possess it. Be strong. Now, we brought this out last week. What kind of strength is he talking about? He's not talking about human strength. There's no passages in the Word that talk about, you know, making sure you get enough exercise and you can lift, 300 pounds over your head. He's not talking about physical strength. Amen. In fact, the New Testament says bodily exercise profiteth little. I've tried to apply that in my life for the most part. But it does profit. You follow me? But this, we're in a generation now in the world, people are focused on bodybuilding and, you know, six packs and all that, you know. I went straight to the keg. People are focused on getting ripped and trim and all this stuff. I'm proud to say I got this body without steroids. I know it's getting old. But here's the thing. We got the world focused on getting physically fit, and God's saying, I need my church to get spiritually fit. I need you to be strong in a different fashion. And we found out last week that it says Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. God wants our strength to be in faith. He wants us to develop our faith. Now again, we've had the church over the past 20 years so programmed to be afraid of the word faith or word of faith. I mean, you're in a denominational system. They're warning you, watch out for word of faith. Those crazy people, they believe God will move if they pray. They believe God will really act on the word if you speak it. Guilty as charged, amen. But we've been mocked enough and people have been warned enough when they hear the word of faith, all of a sudden people are already on the edge of their seats like, okay, now, I knew there's something wrong with this church. I'm seeing a power of God. I'm seeing people healed and delivered. I'm seeing them set free and touched by God. But now they said a word of faith. I know I'm in a crazy church. Do you want word of unbelief? You want to be in an unbelief church? I believe the word of God. I believe it 100%. Every bit of this word was God breathed. Or God instructed in the recording of it. You follow me? And I believe if God said it, He is not a liar. It says He's not a man that He can lie. His promises are yes and amen. So when He says you are healed by the stripes of Jesus, you have a right to be healed. When He says your seed will produce 30, 60, 100 fold, you have a right to see it produce. You follow me? When He says He'll save your kids, you have a right to see your kids saved. Your family saved. My family can't die till they get saved. I just told you they can't die till they get saved. Amen. They at least getting through the gates. That's as far as I got to take them. It's up to them how far they go beyond that one. And so, we are the generation that are being told to possess. And He says, to do it, you got to be strong. But He says, strong in what? Strong in faith. Now, how do we get faith? The Word, Romans 10:17, right? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You cannot be strong in faith without time in the Word. That's why we're talking about CD players and MP3s and everything. The more you will expose yourself to revelate, to anointed revelatory Word, you follow me? The more it's going to help you advance spiritually. In fact, most form of the word, unless it's unbelief word, is going to help you advance or develop. So time in word is the word. As you're listening to the word, you're reading the word, watching shows about the word, as all these word inputs are coming in, it starts to move down from your soul, down from your mind, down into your spirit, and make a faith connection. Faith is developed down inside of you. And all of a sudden, what seemed like just a promise where, you know, where God says, well, you can be healed, all of a sudden, that's not like, I can be healed. Not just be healed, I am healed. God says, I am healed. What happened? The word, exposure to the word, caused faith to develop and you became strong. Amen. And they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. In other words, they that know God and are strong in faith, they spent time in the Word, will perform wonders. Signs and wonders will come out of their life. Are you ready for signs and wonders? Here's the thing. Pastor Callahan now, he's going all over the world and seeing 100% healing. Last time he went to Peru, that baby that was 1 year old, born blind, received its eyesight. You know, the time before, I think he says, saw six people. He saw six people receive their eyesight that were blind, if I remember right. Everywhere he's going, people come out of wheelchairs. Phenomenal miracles. But you know what? 3 years ago, I believe it was, we celebrated his 50th anniversary in ministry. His 50th year in ministry. He started when he was 16. Amen. 3 years ago, he turned 66. Number of books in the Bible, number of flavors of milkshake we have. And of those 50 years in ministry, up to that point, he was not seeing the miracle power of God like he is now. We didn't start seeing the advanced healings probably until like the last 10 years. And the last two have been off the chart compared to the other years. What are you saying? It took him 50 years to get where he's at. of word, word, word. Word of faith the whole time. 50 years. You know, I'm telling you this, Vicki, because this is one God instructed me to tell it to. It's not going to take you 5. We're in acceleration in the end times. God's doing a short work. He's bringing forth so much word to us. You're going to be doing this stuff in a short time. That goes for all of us. We don't have 50 years anymore. Here's the rapture date. Jesus knows it. I don't. You follow me? At least Father God knows it. I believe Jesus knows it. Here's all of history up to this point, and we're compressing on this day. And here's the church development right now, and we've got only a matter of years left. I don't think more than 20. I don't think we have 20. And all of this development is going to be crushed into these last days. We don't have 50 years to wait. So God's pouring out His Spirit upon us in a fashion the world's never before known. In the area of raising us up in the understanding of the Word. But we got to choose to be strong. This is where He says, be strong and you will go into possess. God didn't say you'll automatically possess. He says, be strong and possess. In other words, no faith development, no possession. So many people get a promise of God or a word from God and they think it's automatically going to come to pass. You have to war over the prophecies. You have to apply yourself to the opportunity God put before you. I'm trying to think of the right example, but you see these shows like American Idol and X Factor now it is or whatever. You see these different shows. And in it, there'll be some young person that has a gifting. You can tell they can sing. But they'll say, you know what? It's obviously you have a gift there, but you need training. Have you ever had voice lessons? No. You need voice lessons. You need to know how to develop this gift you have, this instrument that God gave you. You need to find the right instructors. You need to spend the right time practicing. And if you will do that, you can become great. And they go back home and they never get an instructor. They never practice. They just want to go to the karaoke place and, you know, sing and never learn to do it right. Never learn to breathe right. You know, I'm told, not being a singer myself, but I've talked to those that are, and I'm told the most important thing regarding singing is your breathing. Learning to breathe. It's the breathing. And nobody learns to breathe. Guess what? You will never step into that greatness. So when God gives us a word about, hey, I've given you the land. Hey, I've given you opportunity. Hey, you can raise the dead. It's up to us whether or not we will develop ourselves to go into that and possess that. You know, really that kind of describes two factions of the charismania realm taking place today. There's the movement now in the church today where all you got to do is just show up for church and God's got a call for your life and all you got to do is just love God and He'll take you into the call. No. You're going to do homework. You're going to apply yourself. You're going to work the Word, become strong in faith so you can possess. That's what the Word says. It doesn't say, just show up for battle and you're going to possess. He says, be strong. You know, show up for church, show up for the battle, and you're going to win. It's more than that. It'd be like me. I always have to use myself as an example because my wife and kids get mad if I use them too much. But when I went through engineering school, my wife will tell you that as far as sports, I cheer for Tennessee. Well, I went to Tennessee. I wasn't a big Tennessee fan until I went there, but once I got there, I had to become a Tennessee fan. I used to be a Tennessee nut. Now I just cheer for them. And so many of you are, you know, Big Blue. But I show up for school wanting this engineering degree. And I tell them, I just love this school. I'm going to go to class every day. Amen. I'm going to stay on campus in the dorm. And I'm going to go to every ball game and cheer for this school. And I'm going to wear orange every day. And after 4 years, after I've been here for 4 years, I expect an engineering degree. And they're going to say, wait a minute. You want the degree? It's not enough to just go to classes. You're going to do homework. You're going to have to learn the curriculum and pass some tests. And today, there's a move in the church. Nobody wants to pass any tests. They just want to show up for class and say, okay, it's fine. The teacher loves me. Give me a degree. Won't work. If you can't pass a test, now God's a merciful God. But he's not a sucker God. God never promotes you beyond a test you won't pass. There is no Peter principle in the kingdom of God. Y'all know what the Peter principle is? Oh my goodness, now I got to explain this. It was a book written, I believe, back in the 60s. And an individual theorized, and I forget his name, but it was Peter. Peters. And he theorized that in business, people are always promoted to the level of their incompetence. In other words, what a business does, when they see somebody doing a great job, they always promote them. Then they do a great job, they promote them again. And then they finally promote them to a job they can't do where they're incompetent in, and that's where they stay. So the business community is always promoting people to the level of their incompetence versus find out what they do well and keep them there. Just pay them more. But they promote all these people in management up to levels where they can't do the job versus prime people qualified for that position in particular. And it's called the Peter principle. Well, God doesn't operate by that principle. He's not going to promote you beyond the test that you pass. What do you mean test? I'm talking about the faith test. Where somebody hurt your feelings and you can't praise God through it and keep going to church and stay in right relationship. You know, you want to go run your mouth and criticize the pastor. You're failing tests. Things get tight, you don't tithe. You're failing tests. You follow me? You know, you're believing God for something, and as soon as, you know, for 2 weeks it doesn't manifest, and you say, well, I guess it didn't work. You failed the test. And God will not promote you. He will not bring manifestation in an area of a failed test. But where His mercy kicks in is not to promote you where you failed the test. His mercy is to let you to keep taking the test till you pass it. You know, it would have been great in school if they'd have done it this way. You know, if you took the algebra test and you made a 40 the first time, teacher says, come in tomorrow, take it again. You make a 50. Well, at least get the thing up to a 70 or 80 before you quit taking it, you follow me? At least pass it, keep taking it. And what God does is when you fail a test, He will say, okay, now repent and go get back in there and get it right. If you hear from Him, He'll say, get it right, get it, and start over. He's a God of restarts. Get it going. You can take it again. And you know what? Here comes that same devil slapping you upside the head again, telling you better quit again. And you got to get to the point where you've got enough word and you're spiritually developed enough where you're saying, I shall not be moved. I mean, that's one of the philosophies of this church, right? Kenneth Copeland when he drives in his garage, he's got this painted across the back of his garage. So every time he drives in, he sees this sign. That's what I'm told. I haven't been in his garage. I've been in his jet. It says, I shall not be defeated. And I will not quit. That's how you pass tests. You refuse to quit. Even if you fail it, you just retake it. Amen. Point is, we are not going to go beyond the level of our personal development. And your personal development will not go beyond your level of determined application. You follow me? This just doesn't come automatic. I was talking to a lady today. I was out in town, and and I was talking to a woman I knew, and she says, I've been trying to get my friend here to go to your church. And I says, she got two teenage daughters, needs to come to your church. And of course, she may hear this CD, I don't know, but hey, here it is. I said, yeah, come on over. Your kids would have a great time. She says, well, I need to tell you what I believe first. Well, now I know we already got a concern here. Because you're going to come and tell me what you believe before I've ever taught you what you need to believe. You follow me? That's like coming to the classroom saying, teacher, I don't care what you say. I know 2 + 2 = 5. You've already made up your mind. And she says, look, I believe that when I was raised up, she was a Catholic. She says that everything they taught me was in Latin. I didn't understand a thing. I said, well, you're good here. We will teach you the word. Amen. And she said, well, I believe that all men are created equal and there should be no division between the races. I said, well, I believe that too. I believe that in our church. Amen. We're all of one family, one blood. And she says, and I believe that there should be no, what would be the word? I'm trying to think of the right term. Judgment on sexual preferences. That, you know, whoever you feel like you need to complete yourself as far as being a couple is fine. I said, well, now we have a situation. I said, because I believe the Word of God. And the Word of God says we're to learn the Word. The Word of God says we're of one family. But the Word of God says homosexuality is a sin. And there's no way you can cut it where it's not going to be. I said, now God loves the homosexual, and I do. You find I love the people. But I said, personally, I was born a liar and a thief. I needed the blood of Jesus to deliver me from that. If someone wants to say they're a homosexual, born homosexual, whether born like that or not, they still need the blood of Jesus to be delivered from it. And God can change them. And that doesn't make it, still doesn't make it acceptable in the eyes of God. Well, that's what I believe. And I'm thinking, well, we can go with what you thought sounds reasonable, or we can go with the Word of God. I found out the Word of God tends to be the one that holds the most weight. So a lot of people don't want to let the Word of God change them. But God's raising up a generation that will be strong and of good courage, right? Well, let's get back in this Word. He says, verse 10, for the land whither thou goest to possess it is not as the land of Egypt from which you came out, where thou sowedst thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither you go to possess it is as a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. We talked about this passage last week. He says, in old times Israel, you had to irrigate your land, and you were limited on what you could harvest. He said, but in this promised land, I'm going to water and bring forth a harvest. It's just determined by what you sow, not how much water you can carry. So you get the seed in the ground, God says, I'll take care of the rest of it. You get the Word in you, and I'll make sure it produces a harvest in your life. We are called to bring in the Word of God, right? God will water it and bring it to life. He says in verse 18, therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when you rise up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them. Do you see this? He says, you've got to put the Word before you in every fashion. And now in Israel, here's what they had to do. They wrote the Word, wrote Scripture, on the doorpost of their house. So going in and out, they'd see the Word. They're passing through a gateway of the Word, even is what it represents. That you're going out through the power of the Word. You're coming in through the power of the Word, right? That's your gateway. He says, I need you to teach them to your kids. Write them on frontlets about your eyes. In other words, they would take the Scriptures, little these forms of the Scripture, little scrolls, and wrap them up and put them in boxes they'd wear around their forehead to remind them there to be thinking Word. They've got Word all around them in a written fashion. They didn't have any audio fashion. Didn't have any other video fashion. You follow me? Didn't have fashion, you know, they jump, you know, they go out walking down the street. There was no word they could pump in them. You guys can have that, you know, those headphones on and cranking word all day. But the point is, God gave us the example through them to be filled with the Word. Because you do not go in the Spirit beyond your word level. Well, Pastor, that's just too much work. I know. That's why not many people are doing it. It's not that it's hard. It's not hard. It is not hard. How many believe that analytic geometry is hard? Just raise your hand if you think analytic geometry is hard. I see a few hands going up. How many believe that, you know, integral calculus is hard? Raise your hand if you think integral calculus is hard. How many think integral calculus is easy? Raise your hand. The rest of you mean you think it's hard. The point is there some people in here that if you taught them for years, they'd still never get a hold of calculus. I'm convinced my wife, if I sat her down and tried to teach her analytic geometry, I could teach her till the cows come home. She's not going to get it. Amen? Now, she can cut hair. From the day I met her, never been to haircutting school. You know, she finally went, but when I'd met her, she'd never been. And she could cut anybody's hair perfect. Any fashion. She cut my hair since the day I met her. She's like, I can cut hair. I said, well, go for it. So much I loved her. I trust her with my hair. She's got gifts and abilities in areas that are just phenomenal. Not to mention a black belt thing. But calculus, it ain't happening. She will never do calculus until she gets to heaven. She may understand it then. Have the mind of Christ, because Jesus can do calculus. He invented it. But you know what? You may never be able to do calculus, but you can read. Anybody here can't read? Everybody here can read. Hannah, can you read? Okay. Hannah, the youngest one in here that I see, you're younger than Hannah, right? Aaron, can you read? The youngest one in here can read. Can you hear? Everybody in here can hear my voice except my wife half the time. She's got to be, when she's on my frequency, want to hear what I got to say. You can hear and you can read, which means you're qualified to bring in the Word of God. You're qualified to bring it in. There is nothing keeping you from it. So it's not hard. It just requires you lay down something else you'd think you'd rather do. Amen. So it's, hey, we get to heaven and Jesus says, why didn't you win those battles? You're going to say, well, you know, I tried, but I just couldn't. Jesus says, but you could have. I gave you my word. He says, well, I didn't have time for the word. He's going to look at you and say, you have got to be kidding. You watch TV 5 hours a day, 8 hours on Saturday because of the football games, and you have time to get 20 minutes a day in the Word? Didn't have time to put on an MP3 player, put in a CD, so that's always on heathen music or something? We'll be without. I can tell why you guys look miserable out there right now. We will be without excuse. Amen. Now you know why the place isn't packed. You're wondering, why is this place packed out? Now tonight you know why it's not packed out. Everybody, hey, this place, you know, it'd be packed out right now if I just got up here and talked about, if I just showed you how we're moving in the power of God. If all I did was move in here tonight in the gifts of the Spirit, and you guys are going like, wow, this place would be packed. I announced Elaine Homer's coming, this place would be packed. Was it, you know, 2 weeks ago? It's packed. Elaine Homer, miracles. Well, we've had the power of God tonight. You know why it's not packed tonight? is because I'm not here to demonstrate. I'm here to raise you up where you can do it. I'm after you being able to do this. And so I'm only going to attract people that want to do it and are willing to do what's necessary to do it. Do you follow me? You know, you go to campus, most college campuses, on average, the average campus. And one of the smallest groups of people on campus will be the College of Engineering. Be one of the smallest groups. When I graduated, we graduated, I think, 130-something mechanical engineers in 1 year. There's 40,000 people on campus. That's less than 1% mechanical engineers. Do you know how many liberal arts graduates are every year? 20,000 at least off the campus. Half are liberal arts. You know what? You want to know why people graduate liberal arts? Now, I understand you got liberal arts graduates in here. Nobody get mad at me. My best friend in college went through psychology, which I think it's liberal arts. Anyway, it should have been if it wasn't. I went to one of his classes, and it was on, he had to go do something. He said, "Can you go to my class and take notes?" I said, "Sure." I go to the class, and it's on human sexuality or something. And the professors, let's just say there was no advanced learning in it. You follow me? I mean, he's talking about, never mind. I don't even want it on tape. And I'm thinking, this is a college class? This sounds like what we talked about in the back of the pool room. He's paying to go to this? And I got him through college because I tutored him through math every course he took. And the most advanced course he took in college was statistics. That, you know, we were doing in high school. And I'm thinking, I got a degree. You got a degree. Half the college went to your degree. Only a small fraction went to my degree. Why? Mine required advanced application. And it wasn't people couldn't do it. They didn't want to do it. Everybody ought to be engineers. It would be a happy place. So that's why, you know, people don't want to come here. They want to go to the church where they say, God loves you. Oh, and he does. Just live your life like you want to live it. Just do what you think God would have you do. Try to be nice and come to church and everything will be fine. And nobody will ever advance in the kingdom because there's no faith being developed. No discipline being instilled in word. So nobody is strong. And if nobody is strong, nobody possesses. Are you following me on this? That's why the social church is so popular. There's no demands placed upon anybody. It's just go to church and, you know, have the mentality God understands. That's not enough for me. You follow me? I've got to see us go into the glory. Let me get to this a minute. This is what it's about. This is not that I'm trying to hammer you that you'll become great Christians. That's not what this is all about. Well, I'm going to raise up a bunch of disciples that'll raise the dead. That's not what this is about. That's part of what we get to do. But this is about God told me to bring the glory of God to Georgetown, Kentucky. The visions I had were about the glory. And everything I've studied on the glory says you've got to teach the people the Word of God. You've got to get it in them because the glory doesn't come through a people that can't possess. Through a bunch of weak Christians. It says in Ephesians chapter 5 that Jesus is coming back for a glorious bride. A bride in the glory. And it says in Revelation that the bride has made herself ready. Not that God has made her ready. She has made herself ready. Now, God put her in bridal position, but she's the one that chose to go in and get prepared. And in the preparation, Matthew 25 says there were 10 virgins, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. 5 prepared and kept their lamp full of oil, the anointing, and 5 didn't. They flittered around and just said, went to the social church where there was no demand, and their lamp was half empty. Which to me is way above average. The average Christian doesn't even have a, they don't even, you can't even smell oil in their lamps. The average Christian, you take their lamp and you do like this. There's nothing there. Not supernatural anointing. Not where they just go through their day and they can praise God and the anointing will come on or the presence of God will show up. It's not even their church services. Much less in people's lives. Half full is way above the average Christian. And they didn't make it. I believe they'll make it to heaven. I believe half full lamps will make it to heaven. Amen. They're just not going into the bridal, into the marriage supper of the Lamb. They're not going out on the first load. Amen. Might have to do some tribulating. But there's a group that are making themselves ready that God's going to rescue out of this situation. Now, something I've been praying in this church, and you guys have been all night praying, have heard me pray this. In fact, I'll need you to verify this. God, all of my days in Christianity, I've had visions and dreams. I've never had a year go by I didn't have some level of visions and usually dreams. Early on, I had more dreams than I had visions. Now I have many more visions than I have dreams. And a couple times a year at least, I'll tell you I had a vision. The motorboat going up the river, right? Stuff like that. Just had a vision. The cloud of glory out in the parking lot here we had last year. The vision. And I've been praying, God, if the people in this church are going into the glory with me, I need you to give them visions. I need it not just to be them believing me. I need you to visit them and let them see stuff like you're showing me. How many have heard me pray that? Raise your hand high, so wave it around so people can see. You've heard me praying that. Well, it's starting to happen. I've had several of you tell me that you've had dreams and visions and such. But Aaron had one. Come up here. Aaron had a couple visions the other day. Actually, it's been a couple weeks ago. I want him to share with you because it's right on. And grab that microphone, flip it on. And I want you to describe these visions you had and tell what you know about them so far.
Probably 3 weeks or so when we were in the middle of the fast, I had a vision. It was one vision, one dream. The dream was much more recent. Well, it was the Sunday that we took a break in the middle of the fast. It was that Sunday morning.
Remember I told you? The visions and dreams usually come right after you break the fast.
Yeah, it was that Sunday morning. I got up early and was in the Word that morning and had a vision when I was getting into the Word. And I'll preface this with both of these were really, really interesting. But I was standing in some sort of area. I don't know if it was a room or what. And I was looking off in the distance and there was, it looked like a furnace or an incendiary of some sort. It was just a very small area that it, from a distance, it looked like it was burning and very hot. And there were people that were walking into this. And as they walked into it, it's like it, I don't know how to describe it other than it's almost like it mangled them and then threw them to the side as they walked into this thing. And I only saw one specific person walk in and I knew who this person was, but I had a sense that there were multiple people going in and then one after the other, they would just go in and it would just mangle them and throw them off the side. Next one would come. And I stood there and the sense I had the whole time was, I don't know what's happening to these people. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening to them. Why is this? And there was a sense that I was supposed to go forward into it, but I was like, no, I'm hanging around until I know what's going on. And a second went by, and I was standing inside of this incendiary or furnace or whatever it was, and I realized it was not a furnace. It wasn't fire. there was this being of some sort. I couldn't tell what it was. I couldn't even tell if it was good or evil. All I could see was its eyes. They were huge, and this thing was just intense, extremely intense.
Lots of eyes, right?
Just two.
Oh, just two eyes. Okay.
Yeah, just two. And as I stood inside this thing, I felt its gaze come across me like this. It went across, and again, I wish I could convey how intense it was. It was like, it felt like it could just explode you and it just went over and went back again. And it stopped, and that was it. And about a week or so ago, I had a dream. This was at night while I was sleeping. And the dream started, and I was standing in a river out in the woods. It was a real large river, and I was standing between two large boulders. And it looked like it was early morning, and the whole woods had flooded the night before. You could tell.
Said it was kind of down in a deep ravine.
Yeah, it was down in a deep ravine, and the water had come way down. I mean, it was, you know, knee deep, but you could tell the night before it had flooded. And all around me, there were these dead bodies of people that had been killed the night before in this flood. And they were laying on the rocks beside me, out in the woods, all over the place. And I was, same sense, I was standing there. I knew that I was supposed to go forward into this, but I stopped. And I was like, I don't know what happened. What happened to these people? What's going on here? And I don't know how this is related, but I knew that I had a clear sense that the direction of the river had changed for some reason. The river had been going this way the night before when the waters were way high in the middle of the night. And by the morning, and these people had gotten killed as they were going down the stream. They'd apparently hit the rocks and had killed them. And the stream come way down, and it was a question. I'm supposed to dive in and go forward, but I just stood there and was like, I don't know, until I could see, and until I could understood that I was supposed to go forward, but until I knew what was going on, I paused, and then I woke up.
And you told me the vision you knew had to do with church, and the dream had to do with business.
Right, had to do with the two arenas.
Did y'all catch that? God, for years, has used me interpreting of dreams, one of the giftings he's given me. So when he told me this a couple nights ago, I knew immediately what most of it meant. As you guys do, right? So I don't need to say another word. Just leave it right there. Let me give you some interpretation of it. The fire, which really turned out to be a set of eyes that swept back and forth, was an examination. And that represented a spirit of God examining people, for whether or not they were ready for what God had to use them for. And understand, this had to do with the church. And the two looks that penetrate, and let me throw this in as well. When you have a God dream or a God vision, what he described, I had enough of them. I know when it's a God thing. If you just said, I kind of think this happened in a dream and it seemed like something happened over here, it's not God. Because when you have a God, when it's he will remember this dream 20 years from now. And he has knowledge of the river change directions and such. That's God giving you something you need to know because it's part of the interpretation. So the eyes sweeping past represent an examination. The first sweeping of the eyes was looking for wickedness. Looking for evil or sin. You follow me? The second look was looking for acts of righteousness. Looking for acts of love. You follow me? Looking for stepping into the calling. One was just, are you in rebellion? Are you in sin? And one is, okay, what have you done with this opportunity? And that people were going in being mangled meant they were failing the test. In other words, they were given an opportunity and they failed, and the mangling represents their life will never be the same. Their calling, without a major merciful move of God, will never be on track like it was. Because there was a major opportunity given that was not addressed or picked up on. And instead, it was twisted in the wrong direction. That Aaron goes through the same examination. It sweeps past him once this way, says there's no wickedness in him. Bobby Jean looked at Aaron and said, there is a man without guile. By the Spirit, there is no wickedness in him, no wicked attitudes at all. coming other way looks at him and says, you have stepped into the opportunity given to you. You've done what you know to do, and you're ready for promotion. That's what that was. That was about applying yourself to the things of God versus just being involved and going through the motions. And Aaron's passed the test. The second dream has to do with the river of God, Ezekiel 47, BJ. And the river talks about in Ezekiel 47 starts off at ankle deep, knee deep, hip deep, waist deep, then over your head a river to be that cannot be crossed, a river that you got to be able to swim in. And what we have here is Aaron is at this river, and it had flooded the night before. See, the outpourings of God will be suddenlies. It's not going to always rise, you know, an inch at a time. There's going to be times it's going to go from ankle deep or waist and overnight be over your head, like the day of Pentecost. And what happened is there were people that were in the river playing around that had not learned to swim. They're wanting to be charismatic. You follow me? But they're not learning how to use the word. They're going to the church of power, or, you know, maybe not even that, but they're trying to get around the river, trying to get around the anointing, but they're not doing anything to prepare themselves with the anointing. And when the flood hit, they couldn't swim. And they were destroyed. You follow me? In other words, when revival was poured out, there'll be people that think they want it that weren't ready. And bodies scattered everywhere. Not to mention all the religious people that were fighting it. It's going to drown them out. That's probably going to be the primary group of them, just the religious people that are around the river, you know, making fun of the ones in it. And when water floods, it's a flash flood, and they're drowned out by it. But then when Aaron's down in the river, the water levels come back down, and he knows this river's killed all these people. And he's being asked by God, will you jump into this thing, knowing the destructive power of it, believing in the blessing power of it? And the river has changed directions, which represents a whole different shift in the fashion God is now moving on the planet. The river changing directions represents inversion. And God is bringing an inversion to this planet that those that have prepared themselves, they've learned to swim, that will jump in. You follow me? God is going to bless mightily. This is much like that dream I had. My goodness. Years and years ago about the roller coaster. You guys have heard the roller coaster vision or the dream, right? That I was on this roller coaster that went coast to coast across the nation, a mile high in the air. And then we went through major storms, and then all of a sudden it landed to the ground. It looked like the ride was over. And most people said, I can't take this. It was too hard. It was too scary. I thought I was going to die. And they got off the ride and took off, you know. And we thought it was over. All of a sudden they said, all aboard. It was just a break. And people had to choose to get back on that roller coaster, going up a mile high in the sky, and the storm clouds were still there, and choosing, I'm going in no matter what the devil's screaming. I'm going back, and I'm going to fulfill this calling. Much the same. The point is, God is doing examinations even now. He's given tests to see if we'll pass. Given opportunities to go through doors to see if we will step into the opportunity He's given us. And those that go in will be promoted. Will be and given opportunity. Oh, glory to God. You were faithful in church. God's going to open up doors in your business life. You were faithful to pass the church test. Now God's going to promote you in the business test and give you opportunities where others were drowned out. And God's going to, as you learn how to pass the tests in faith and refuse to quit, refuse to be offended, God's going to promote you and give you other opportunities to be involved in this outpouring that's going to take place. It's even now starting to take place. Did you catch that? We are the generation that's going to experience these phenomenal times. Now go back to verse number 21. Let's close this out. He's talking about writing the word all over your house. He says in verse 21, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon earth. How many believe heaven's going to be fabulous when we get there? But God says you don't have to wait. He was telling Israel, when you get to the promised land, you have all these vineyards and houses you didn't build. You're going to experience blessing you've never dreamed of. Well, God wants us to experience that as His children now. Not over in the ever after, otherwise it would say heaven and heaven. He says, I want you to know blessings of heaven on earth. If you'll just apply yourself, I will position you for the overturning of things of authority positions on the earth. A financial blessing on earth. You will be positioned to be in the right spot to receive of this goodness. But you have to determine, I'm going to do it. Do you follow me on this tonight? Anybody want the things of God? Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that you seal it in the hearts, minds, and understanding of each one here, and you cause it to rise up and desire to go deeper with you. The great news is, Lord, we get to be with you. We get to be in your presence. The further we go into the word, the further we are in your presence. The further we go in faith, the deeper we can go into just dwelling in your glory. I thank you, Father, that you do add multitudes to this church and its people that want to experience your fullness and move into it. I thank you, Father, even now you continue to give visions and dreams to each one here, and you increase their anointing level tenfold where it is right now in their near future to addict them to the things of the kingdom. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. So be it. Amen.